Hello, everybody. This is Clint Locklear with a rant of a free trapper. Now, this is the second rant I've done today because my first one sucked. And I'm just going to be honest with that. It was about the difference between agenda and truth, and I just didn't like it. And it sucked. So I'm going to go a different route with this. Now, I have to admit there's a lot going on in my life right now. But there's a good lesson that's going to come back here in a minute that I hope, if this rant turns out any better than the sucky first one, that you'll understand that it's okay that my first rant sucked. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. And hold up, let me get some bone broth here. Okay. What I want to talk to you about today is the education of the young people of America as it should be, not how it is. Now, I'm saying that way like I've got my little tweed jacket on and I've got my little pipe sticking out of my mouth. Of course, you couldn't do that anymore because that would be illegal, I'm sure. But then your little tweed hat and got your legs crossed with your little tweed pants and people talking about the education of young people the way that it's been, which, you know, if you're building factory workers, it's okay, I guess. But what I want to talk about is save your children. You. Yeah, you. You parent. You. You spawned them. It's your job to educate them. Quit giving that power to somebody else. I'm going to give an example of what education should be. Now, I don't have children. So you can go, well, you don't have children. You don't know how it is. Okay, but I do teach other people other things. And my teaching people other things, like in the business course, you learn what people think, how they know. And what amazes me is people think information is education. And you could not be farther from the truth. Information is not education. If so, you've got a smartphone in your pocket that allows you to pull up any information any PhD in the country has in about 30 seconds. Therefore, why are you going to pay? Why are you going to go to college or send your kids to college to be in debt when that could be their house they're going to be buying for that sheet of paper, or a farm or something, start a business, whatever. So it's not the information, but that's what education today is. It's information. And it's pardon my French, it is stupid to think that. Now, I've talked to somebody today about something, and this really probably the reason my first podcast sucked, because that's what I was planning, but then this was on my mind, and subconsciously, this is what I was supposed to do. So we're going to roll with this one. I've already deleted the other one. So if this sucks twice as bad, you're going to have to get the twice as bad. Information does not mean anything. Information does not mean you're smart. Now, you can graduate from the highest college in the land, and if you just have information, I wouldn't hire you for nothing. And I have a feeling in the future, you're going to find out that college degrees are going to be worth less than they are today. Businesses are like getting these educated children, and they're going, no. We do not want to waste our time dealing with someone that knows nothing about anything except the Kardashians or what's on number 5 on iTunes. No. And they're going to start the way that they get people into those job positions very differently. And it's going to be an interview, and I guarantee you in 10 years or so, you're going to start hearing more and more about this. Or it's going to be tests of critical thinking. That's the way I would do it. If I had a media job, you know how I'd do the interview? Very simply, I want you to come up with a show that's going to rate high. I want to know who the market is. How are you going to fund this show? How are you going to make money for us on this show? What's the content going to be? Where are you going to get that? And I need all of that in a brief that I can give at the next board meeting. Goodbye. Goodbye. See ya. Don't ask a question. That's not part of the interview. If you can't do this, you don't deserve to be here. You need to go learn how to think before you get a job here. Now, see, that seems really harsh, but that's the way businesses should treat people that want jobs, unless you need someone that's not going to be doing something that's critical in the way that they think. So as parents, if we would stop giving the power away to government workers who are only concerned with preserving the government's control of school, because if they weren't, all the vouchers and all the other schools wouldn't be such an issue with them. But it's not really about the children. Don't give me the crap the teachers just care about the children. Bull crap, they do a better job of what they're supposed to do. So it's going to be up to you. You're going to have to pay, like I pay sales tax that goes to my school. I don't have a kid in there. Congratulations, there's a lottery winner somewhere in this town that doesn't pay taxes and I'm paying for their kid. I guess that's the American dream for them. So if you, the parent, are going to have a smart kid, you cannot rely on school because they teach information and they teach someone to gurgitate that information. So in today's world, you can go to college. You can spend $150,000 at whatever school you want to put after that. And as long as you can regurgitate a majority of what someone regurgitated to you out of their notes, you are a smart, educated, ready to whoop the world person. And I say BS on that. Now, I barely made it out of high school, guys. Literally did not know if I was going to graduate high school. I made all A's and B's up until I was like eighth grade or so. And then I found out that girls were a little bit different than guys, and that you could put really fast motors in cars, and that you could make money hustling sports. That was way more important to me at the time than school. I barely passed. It's not something that I was good at. It's not something I really cared about. Because most of the stuff, to be honest with you, that we were taught and how we were taught was boring because the teacher was just regurgitated stuff. And then we were supposed to regurgitate the regurgitated stuff. And that was going to show that if we could regurgitate it without throwing up over it, that we were smart little children. I reject that. And as you as a parent, I hope you reject it too. If you want to take control of your children, you need to put them in real world situations that they have to think, not regurgitate, and not Google. Google's fine for research as long as they're thinking about something. I use Google all the time. That does not give me intelligence because I know how to speak into my phone. What is the square root of 32? Oh, see, I'm a genius. I know the square. I didn't know the square root. I knew how to talk into a cell phone. That doesn't make me smart. Or if I can look up what Trump said in 1982 about gay marriage, that doesn't make me smart about Trump. I just looked up some information. So you as a parent, or we as a society, if we want to have smart children, and this is, if you've ever wondered, there's two reasons why America is where America's at, and why American probably won't be where America's at in the next half century. At the beginning, we had a lack of government, which means people could chase and do what they wanted to do without a whole lot of influence. If they failed, they starved, or they had to go get a job so they could figure something else out. See, that's what real white privilege is, in case you didn't know this. Your children should be able to recite my definition to white privilege to their teacher so there's no confusion about what white privilege is in public schools. White privilege is simply, I have the ability to attempt anything that I want to, and when I fail, I can't point my finger at another race. That's what white privilege is. Because there's nobody above us in society that we can pour non-pitcher to. So that is what allowed us to be where we are today in America. People got to try and fail. And when you study people that have been successful, which no one really wants to do anymore because everybody just wants to watch YouTube videos. You don't want to read or learn or do anything like that. You would find out most successful entrepreneurs failed more than they succeeded. But only thing everybody ever talks about is a success. Because everybody wants to always sit around and go, must be nice to be able to do something like that. Everything he touches turns to gold. You know, I wish I could do that. Yeah, you could, and no, it didn't. Because you don't look at the failures. When I started becoming popular in trapping, where people started kind of recognizing me at conventions and names, where did you come from all of a sudden? Well, good grief, I must have been pretty bad at promoting myself 10 years ago. It wasn't an overnight thing. It was a decade in the making. But I failed at a lot of stuff I thought was going to be successful inside of trapping that did not go very well. And I just keep plugging along. Because of my white privilege, there's no one to blame. Nobody I can point the finger at. I better keep trucking. So people were not afraid to fail, which we are today. You want to know why? Your kids are taught to be scared to death of failure. Scared to death of failure. If you don't do good on this test, you're not going to make it into this other class. If you don't make it in that other class, you're going to have to go to one of them community colleges. If you don't make a certain thing on your SAT, you're not going to make it in the college of course. And before you know it, you're going to be living under a bridge picking garbage out of somebody's dead body's teeth. You got to pass the test. Failure. You can't fail at this. Study. Regurgitate. Be a little buzzard and just regurgitate over and over and over again. You can't fail. And if they do fail, everybody in their class is taught to make fun of them. See, I can tell you, if I had a kid, I would ask them every single day, what did you try today and fail at? Well, I tried to do this and it didn't work. That is awesome! Go try again. And I'm not going to say this to embarrass Travis. I've heard him say this over and over. I know where it's come from. It's come from his school. He doesn't like doing anything he's not good at because there's a chance he can fail and he don't want to fail. Where did he learn that from? He learned that from school. Because everything that a child does at school is on a pass-fail. Which is, excuse me, but that's a dumbass way to be an educational system. It really is. Because, let me ask you, what professor would tell you that a hillbilly from the Appalachian region of Tennessee could build a really good business from selling tainted meat and ground up mice and perfume extracts? See, I would fail according to any professor in the world, but it's right here. I'm in my shop right now, overloaded with all the olfactory senses being bombarded by all this, especially the new deer stuff I'm playing with. And some of those, the deer stuff that I'm playing with, huge failures. Some of them, yeah, they rocking. But see, I'm not afraid to fail. Your kids are taught to fail. And they're not taught anything that's relative because nothing is connected to anything else. When I'm always talking about permaculture, the reason that that makes so much sense to me is everything in permaculture, when you design a system, is connected to another part of the system. School is just like a factory. Everything is disconnected. You can sit there and push this button 12 hours a day. That's all you do. 12 hours a day. Move this from there. Move this pallet over here. You get on a forklift when it comes off that belt, you go over there. It's all disconnected because it's breaking down everything into simple, efficient, they are efficient, ways of doing something in a factory. You break them all down. No one has any idea what the other person's doing. And it's this one big machine and everybody's their own little wheel or screw or nut or lever or something like that. But they're all individual and that's all they get to do is do their thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's not a system way to do anything. When you're taught the way that kids are taught today in school, everything is not applied to anything that's realistic because it's reductionist style thinking, just like a factory is built. You want to break it down to the simplest form. That way that it's simple and it's harder to break. Because if you had to teach somebody to do all the stuff in a factory, that's harder. But if you can teach someone to push this button for 12 hours, that's pretty easy. Or how to flip a hamburger at McDonald's. everything is really broke down in reductionist way of thinking. And our education is taught that same way. Because if you start talking to a kid about stuff that's connected with math, with creativity, with anything else that they see on a daily basis, their schooling has not allowed them to think that way whatsoever. So they don't know how to think that way. Now, you as a parent, it's your job, not the school's job, to have a smart kid. Your job. So to me, if you want to have a smart kid, you got to teach him how to think. And how are you going to teach him how to think? You got to teach him how things are connected. Because if he can't see how they're connected, it's just a useless, another regurgitated piece of information that they got to spew out on a test that they don't even have to know next week, and they're still considered smart. But if you connect stuff, watch what happens with an individual. Now there's a purpose to what they're being taught. Now see, I'm a big believer in having purpose. We've talked about this before. Purpose makes everything where it matters or it doesn't matter. Most people don't have a purpose in life. Therefore, it's boring. They're depressed. They're on Prozac. They can't wait till the weekend. They're scared to death of Monday. Why? Because they have no purpose of anything they're doing in their life. Purpose is the difference between someone that's driven and can get things done and someone that just flails around waiting for some vacation time. Purpose. Education in school is not with a purpose. So if you're a parent and you may have to learn some of the stuff that I'm getting ready to talk about. You may have to. You can start looking up different topics on YouTube and podcasts. You could take my business course. There's thousands of business courses out there you can take. Start reading about entrepreneurs, how they think, different things like that. See, everything's connected in an entrepreneur's world. That's why it's so strange for someone to come from an employee side to the entrepreneur side, because now they're just like pushing a button all day, and now they got to know how the system works. They've never had to think about the system. They don't know about the system. They don't know that this affects that, and that's going to affect this, and this is going to be the reason that you either make a profit or you don't make a profit, because nothing's ever been connected, because since they've been in the first grade getting creativity beat out of their skull by their teacher in the system, all the way up through college, you better not be creative, because if you do, you fail, and failing is bad. Now see, to me, the biggest mistake people make is, I'm a creative person. See, I've got blue hair and I've got this big anchor hanging out of my nose. And look at these 14,000 tattoos and I wear strange looking clothes. See how creative I am? That's not creative. That's just how you dress. That's the color you dyed your hair. That's not being creative. And there's 10,000 people that look just like you. So how is that being creative? So if you want to have a smart kid, it's going to be up to you. Whenever I get around my nieces and nephews, I'm asking them questions to make them think. And what I found out, most of the time they're pretty interested because they've never been allowed to think. They're just told. Going back to the regurgitation, being a good little buzzard. So if you have a kid, and again, I'm going to pick on Travis, just because he knows that I'm not being mean to him about this. Travis, as most of y'all know, wants to do something in the hunting industry. Now see, if I had a kid, that is the most awesome opportunity that you can have with a child. And it doesn't matter what it is, but if he wants to be in the deer industry, you can now connect all the dots and show purpose with a lot of things that he thinks is just stupid. You have that power as a parent, if you think this way too. So let's say you have a son and his name is Bob. And Bob wants to be in the deer industry. Well, you start having conversations with Bob. I don't care if he's 5 years old or 15. It doesn't make any difference. Well, what do you want to do in the deer industry? Well, I want to have a TV show. Really? That's awesome. So how are we going to start that today? What? Yeah, how are we going to start that today? How are we going to get you to where you want to go? How are we going to start that today? Well, maybe someone, because this is what I always hear, maybe someone will see something or hear me somewhere and they'll want to put me on a TV show. Now see, my answer as an entrepreneur is just like, wrong answer. Because it is. It's the wrong answer. But you don't tell a kid that. If me and you are good friends, I might tell you that. But a kid, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to go, what are you doing to get someone's attention? What are you doing to get the attention of somebody to put you on a TV show? What can you do to get the attention of an outdoor producer that wants to have you on his show? Well, I don't know. Well, if we can work out a plan to help you get there, would you be interested? Then look what happens at that point. You get to start explaining social capital and why it's so important. And then it's going to come to, well, an easy way to do that is through YouTube. It didn't really cost anything. We can set you up a channel right now, but I want you to set it up the way that you think is best to set up. And when he's setting it up, start talking to him just in the back of his mind where he's thinking about what's the image that he wants to have. Because I guarantee you, even a 15-year-old has no idea. What's the image? You know, what's the marketing going to be to get people to do your show? Are you going to be like a Jeff Foxworthy? Are you going to be like a serious hunter? Are you going to be, one of them guys that the only way they can make money is whore out themselves to every single product in the industry? Of course, you wouldn't say that to a kid, but I mean, you could make it clear. And trust me, they will know who you're talking about. Or do you want to be a traditional guy, a backwoodsman type guy, kind of like a mountain man? Or do you want to, you know, hunt a bunch of different type animals? Do you want to do hunting that the average guy could do? And see, whatever answer they give you is the right answer. The thing is that you need that kid to think about what his image is going to be. And then whatever his image is going to be, then you help him with him doing the thinking, by the way. You don't do it for him. You don't tell him what he's supposed to do. You walk him through how to sign up a YouTube channel. Great, we got a YouTube channel. It's got a name. What does the name portray? What does that name mean to you? If you didn't know you, would you understand what that name was? Maybe there's a better name we could look at. Maybe that's an awesome name. We can change it later. It doesn't really matter. Whatever. Okay, now we got to figure out how to film. How we got to edit. How we got to do the SEO so anybody can find the video. Do you think it'd be cool to have your own website? Yeah, I want my own website. Well, how do we get a domain name? Let's research that together. What do you think your domain name should be? See, I'm leading him down the path where he's making the decisions. And I'm letting him know that if it doesn't work the first time, that's totally okay. Because if you lead him down the path of something as simple as I want to be on TV shooting deer, look at what you get to connect to that child. Because all of a sudden now marketing becomes something that's important to that child. Which means you get to teach him about marketing. You can have like your own little homeschool type thing. Because I tell you right now, if you've got a kid that's 10 years old and you can't sit down in front of the TV with him or her and look at 10 different commercials and that kid can't off the top of his head tell you the angle of that commercial, you need to work on your parenting of that child. Because a child that knows what marketing is and advertising and all the different angles and stuff like that, you may have to learn it yourself. I don't know. Do you know one kid that's not going to be taken advantage of when he gets older? That kid right there. So if he's looking at the Jeep commercial with the Renegade music going and you've got all these people having a good time and they're all like 22 years old and it looks like they're right out of college and it's talking about the glory days and they're going through the mountains, and that kid can watch that and go, yeah, they're saying if you buy this Jeep that you're going to be young again and free and doing all the things you never got to do. That's awesome, man. So you could play this game with your children with advertising. Let them figure out what the advertising means. Don't just tell them no. Ask them why. Lead them with questions. But it's never regurgitation, if you understand what I'm saying. How are we going to get sponsors? how many sponsors would it take to run a show? Well, I don't know. Don't they pay me? That's not how it works on the Outdoor Channel. You pay, you got to buy the space, and you've got to get sponsors. Now we're bringing in math. We're bringing in more social capital. We're bringing in all of this stuff that they're learning parts of, or they're regurgitating parts of, but they don't know how they fit together. So if he wants to understand how many sponsors does he need, at what's the amount? Okay, that's how many sponsors you need, Bob. How are we going to go out and get these sponsors? I'm going to ask him, what are you going to say? So then you can work on selling with a child, because that's a real world skill. How are you going to sell? What are you going to say? Let's work on this a little bit so we can get it down. So when you go in there, there's nothing they can say but yes. And you work on that pitch over and over and over and over again. And you know what you do to make it fun? Even if you have to do this, is you go to your next door neighbor, give him a $20 bill, and say, when my son comes over, if he impresses you with his sales pitch on you to sponsor him on YouTube, hand him that money. Next year, if he comes back, I'll give you another $20 to hand him. So when your kid that's nervous as crap is going to go over to your neighbor and give this speech that he worked on, that he understands he needs so many people because he may need a camera, he's going to need some gas money to go out on the lines, he's starting to understand expenses, he understands you've got to help somebody else to get some money coming back in, then when they go over to the neighbor goes, sure, yeah, I'll help sponsor. That sounds like a really cool thing. How about $20? Now, what do you think you're teaching your son at that point? That if you do the work and you learn how to market and you learn how to sell and you learn how to talk to people and you've got the guts to ask, and you're willing to get a no, the good things happen. That's what you're teaching them. So now they've got a website. Now they're going to have to start putting down blog posts. Now they've got to start worrying about grammar and spelling because they don't want anybody to make fun of them, right? You know, you want to show that you're a professional. Yeah. So how do we gauge a story so you catch their attention at the beginning of the story, then you give them the information, then maybe you do a quick follow-up on the end. Let's do some stories like that. You're training him by using his own brain how to talk to people through the internet and build social capital. So I can go on and on and on. The simple idea of him wanting to be on TV and shoot deer, how to get sponsors, understanding expenses, spelling and grammar, reading about people that's already done it, reading about other business people that's done very similar things but maybe in a different genre. What can we learn from them so you can get on TV? See, now it's personal to that kid. And he's using something that he never got to use at school, and that's his brain where he's got to think. Now, whether he gets on TV or not, because it probably somewhere around age 15 or 16, he's going to realize, like me, that girls are different than guys, and you can put fast cars in motors and whatever else his hobby is going to be, that's more fun than anything else. What do you think is going to happen when they go to a job interview? To me, I think it would be fun just to go to job interviews just to talk to people that are hiring people. I think you'd be really interested. You know, what would impress me the most if I was getting someone asking me for a job? If I've got 15, 21-year-olds, and one of the 21-year-olds said, well, I'd like to separate myself from the pack a little bit, and I think I can do it if you'll give me just a moment to explain why I'm the one that's the person that you need. I'd go, really? Okay, go. And then they went through how at age 5 or 6 or 10 or 12, they decided they wanted to do YouTube videos with deer. They set up a business plan. They had a marketing plan. They learned the math. They learned how to write. They set up their own websites. They got sponsors for that. They got the content. They got so many subscribers. They got so many comments. They got so many total views. From a business owner point of view, dang. Really? How did you learn how to do that? Well, I learned from my parents that I have to be a critical thinker and that everything has to be able to flow together. So now when I look at anything or I have a task, I'm going to figure out the best way that the system works that I can implement into that system or whatever he decides to say. You just beat out 99% of people that come from Ivy League schools. Because most are going to be like, you know, like, I got a 4.0 at Harvard, man. You know, or you got a kid that's actually already done something. And you know what the amazing thing would be to a 15-year-old anyway? Is to build so much social capital on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and his website that somebody in the deer industry calls him up one day and goes, "Hey kid, would you like to come hunt with us next weekend so we can film it? We've seen what you've done and it's been impressive." If you don't think that can happen, then you're not understanding how the world works. Because I don't care how important, I don't care if it's Michael Waddell himself, if there's someone out there that's got 30 million people that's watched his videos and liked them, he wants them on his show to try to get what he can off of that. That social capital that you could build with a kid is amazing. It doesn't have to be in the outdoors. It can be anything. It doesn't make any difference what it is. Teach him how to think. Teach her how to think. Teach them how everything goes together. Let them do their own thing. And when something doesn't work, don't do what most people do with their children. "Yeah, I told you that wouldn't work. You should have listened to me in the first place." Because you know what the kid won't do next time? He ain't going to do jack crap. Because you're teaching that kid that unless it works out, everybody's going to think they're a dummy. And that's a sad state that we are in America. So as a parent, it's up to you. Teach your kid. Let them negotiate everything with you. Everything with you. They want to go on a date? Why should you let them? Let them explain to you why you should let them. Oh my goodness, are you going to have a rock star on your hands when he's 25 years old? Most kids can't tell you anything like that. All they do is break down, "You're mean." You have a kid that can go toe-to-toe with an adult and negotiate something? I'll say one thing, you better be prepared as a parent. Because you might find out, but when you make a snap decision, they're going to show you that it was a snap decision. So you got to be ready on your side. They should be negotiating everything. Don't do nothing for them, but help them think their way through everything. You want to know if just a small percentage of Americans would look at their children in this way? There's nothing in this world that could stop America for just completely being the most long-lasting and amazing society in the world. My views anyway. Up to you. Critically think or regurgitate.